from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I really appreciate you being here, whether you're a regular listener or you're new. This podcast is a bit different. I hope it can help you, keep you company, take your mind off stuff, or put you to sleep. Whatever you're looking for, it does, you know, the structure's a little bit different, the show's a little bit different, but I really appreciate that you're here. And I wish I could say more, but I think it's time for me to get on with the show. And here's a couple of ways, because it's a sleep podcast, we do try to do this up front. These are the ways we're able to keep the podcast free for everybody. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. These are the listeners who support the sponsors, keep the show free for everybody. So I wanted to thank a good friend of the show, Melissa and Christine, who supported Four Sigmatic. Melissa also turned me on to another kind of coffee latte that I'm going to have to check out from Four Sigmatic. And then Cove, I want to thank Sarah, Melanie, Debbie, and Henrika, who all had questions about Cove and how to check out Cove. And then I wanted to thank Jill, Jonathan, and Robin, who let Delta know they saw the podcast on their flights. So thank you so much for that. If you want to be a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, support a sponsor, then tag them in a social media post to let me know about it. Let them know you found them through the show. That's how we keep this podcast free for everybody. So thanks, Robin, Jonathan, Jill, Henrika, Debbie, Melanie, Sarah, Christine, and Melissa. This is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And in this holiday season, let somebody know about a podcast you enjoy. Show them, you know, family, friends, coworkers. Show them on their phone how to subscribe and check out podcasts. That it's free, and there's hundreds of thousands of wonderful podcasts out there. Great way to share some holiday spirit. Can you imagine? There's people out there that they either don't know about podcasts or they just don't know how darn good they are. So share some podcasts with the people you love this holiday season. Thanks, everybody, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed and turn out the lights. Why did I say turn out? I almost mispronounced lights. Turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, physical sensations, anything you're feeling in your body, or emotionally you're experiencing. It could be other stuff, you know, external stuff. It could be, I don't know what it could be, like snoring, breathing, travel, work schedules, temperature. Here's one we would have never predicted. Like, it could be TikTok, like it could be a clock tick-tocking, like maybe you're visiting somewhere. I didn't mean to bring this to your attention, but it is one of those things when I'm in a guest room. Or, you know, somewhere that I have to usually deal with is the tick-tock of a clock. You know, because my brain won't stop. And then I say, whoa, you know, then I have to deal with it. But nowadays there's also TikTok, which I'm sure, like, that's what, like, well, the use of TikTok doesn't span generations. I mean, it does. it probably anybody within like that's TikTok adjacent, which would be parents, grandparents, pop culture. What is it? What pop culture media gadflies? I'm not 100% sure what that means, but they probably are like. So that's a new TikTok. You see, like holy, what, it's spelled differently. Actually, I don't know how to spell TikTok on the clock. But it, like the TikTok, the app, or whatever the platform. Of course, I'm sorry, TikTok. I didn't mean to refer to you just as an app. That could also like so there's like I don't know. I love it when the language expands. I mean, I don't think it's exactly what people said when it's like, oh, the expansion of language and meaning. But in this case, you say, well, like maybe it's something you could share with a relative. You say, well. The TikTok and of a clock's been TikTok's been keeping me up, and I say, "Oh yeah, oh boy, can't stop watching it." Right? I can't get enough of that sweet. And they say, "No, no, no, the clock in the other room." And I say, "Oh, okay. What's that TikTok you're talking? Well, don't you don't want to know because." And then I'm also thinking, who you know, does my kid use TikTok? So anyway, okay, so. So whatever's keeping you awake, sorry about that. That was an early tangent. So whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that and create a safe place where you, where you could set that aside. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, believe me, like we just witnessed one or two, the superfluous tangents, misfiring metaphors, extra words, misusing. You say, well, Scoots, that's actually, I've never heard someone get intergenerational. Use of TikTok wrong and all. And I say, well, that's what I'm here for. And so whatever's what I say, oh, I'm going to use those techniques and other ones, including just going on and not getting to the point. But what I'm really here to do is keep you company. Now, if you're new, you might already be like a little bit dismayed. Another word I don't think I've ever, this may be the first time I've used dismayed in the podcast intro. So I'll try not to get distracted by breaking apart dismayed, because that also is a word that I really could have some fun with. But since you're a new listener, I want to take some time to let you know a couple things. One, yeah, this show's a bit different. It's kind of something you don't quite passively consume it, but you do passively consume it if you choose to. Or, you do one thing less than passively consume it. So it just kind of like go, I don't know. I'm trying to take you on a journey where you can drift off at any point, I guess, like walk at your side. But at some point, the mystical powers of sleep kind of just have you drift away from me. And I've noticed with new listeners, a few different things that it can throw them off. One is me and my creaky dulcet tones, and a lot of listeners say, give it a few tries. It eventually you get used to it. Or some people like it right away. And, the second thing is that I really don't get to the point or make a lot of sense. And it's a little bit goofy. So that's another thing. But kind of see how it goes. I'm your friend. I'm your boyfriend. I'm just here to keep you. I'm like the bedtime jester without the hat with the bells on it, of course. Or the shoes with the bells on it, because how would that help you sleep? So that's another thing. Then structurally can also throw new listeners off, because the show is structured a bit differently than most normal things and most sleep things. So the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it free for everybody. And then there's an intro, which is around 12 to 20 minutes or so. Of me rambling, but that's what, like, at least when you're a new listener, you say, well, is it rambling? What is he doing? Is he talking about the podcast? And it's more, it's just a monologue, as they like to say, heavy on the log, and the mono, if it stands for monotone, because to, like where it, the whole idea of the intro is that it eases you into bedtime as you're getting ready for bed or as you're in bed unwinding. So this isn't a podcast that is like instantaneous. It takes a while. In my experience, like I'm looking to help you get like ease off into dreamland. I wish I had, you know, if I had another pod, I mean, I'd be like, I would be a trillionaire if I had a podcast that was like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. The next time I say dismayed after that time that I just said it, you'll be asleep. Did I mention this is the podcast? Oh, that, I almost said dismay, which is not what should put you to sleep just when I say dismayed. And that would be the end of the podcast. I mean, that would probably be behind a paywall or something because you'd say, okay. But so that's not, this podcast eases you into bedtime, like a friend telling you a story and keeping you company to take your mind off of stuff. So that's the beginning of the show. Then there's some business. Then there's tonight we'll be covering, hello, new show, Mandalorian. So we'll be covering the first episode of The Mandalorian. And, you know, man, like there's so many, you know, boring fits right in there. So, man, you're boring me, or whatever you want to say. So that's it. Like, so that's the structure of the show. Then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's one thing that can dismay, leave you dismayed, just in case that first dismay didn't work. But what else if you're a new listener? This is a podcast you don't need to listen to, so you could just barely kind of listen. Because a couple of questions might come up with Mandalorian. One, are you going to spoil it? And I'd say, well, for episode one, I will not, I mean, I'll spoil some of the plot points and stuff, but not the one, like, I won't spoil the one thing that would actually spoil the episode. So I won't do that. I haven't watched episode two yet, so I don't even know what's coming. So I won't spoil it, but, you know, but you won't remember, you say, I don't recall a, I mean, I'm mostly talking about the stuff that came up and then researching things that I thought about. So it's not like a critical analysis of The Mandalorian, nor is it, I don't know, I haven't recorded the episode yet, so I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I mean, I have a lot of notes. I've watched the first episode 4 times, so maybe I'll watch it one more time before I record it, and then while I record it, I'll have it running. So it'll be more of like appreciating the details and getting curious is what I expect. Because there is a lot to take in, and saying, well, actually, I did enjoy this. I wasn't expecting it. So don't worry. If you've never seen it, here's the thing. If you don't intend to see it, might as, because some people with the TV things, they say, well, I'm not a fan of that show. And I'd say, well, that means you're perfect for it. Where I say, well, I'm worried about being spoiled. I'd say, well, that's a legitimate worry and concern. But I've rarely heard people say, holy cow, when I, you know, like ideally you're asleep for it, right? You know, probably be pretty enjoyable because in this case, it's like a 45 minute, the episode is about 45 minutes, and but I'll be talking about for 50. But I'll probably also be talking about some research I did about, huh, what's up with that? So I wouldn't worry, like, it's understandable you'd be concerned, but just kind of see how it goes. I think I always like, I'm like, I guess I look at it, I try to look at it from your point, but I don't want you to miss out on some sleepy stuff. So I guess I'm like trying to speak to your concerns in a respectful way. I hope I did that, so that's the structure. What was I saying? You don't need to listen. I think I was saying that. And I think I made that point pretty strongly. Also, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. So I guess that's, I'm going to be here to keep you company. Like, so if you can't fall asleep, I'll be here till the very end for you. And if you do fall asleep, that's great too. I'll be here talking whether you're awake or asleep or you listen to the episode in segments. Those are all pretty common things to do. So that's what to expect. The reason why I make the show is, you know, I have trouble falling asleep. But getting to sleep, do you have trouble getting to sleep, staying asleep, the other stuff? Oh, yes, I do. So I make the show because I know how, you know, the reason is because I know how it feels there. That's why I call it the deep, dark night. Whether it's at 10 p.m., you know, whatever time it is, at least for me, it's not easy. I'm trying to use softer words, but the biggest part of the show for me, and I guess the reason it tries to be a little bit fun and silly and goofy, is because I'm really familiar with the bedtime dread. And I'll never forget when it was at its toughest would be like I would start thinking about falling asleep on Sunday before the sun went down on Saturday and thinking about Monday when I was in school. So, like, I don't think anybody deserves that kind of bedtime dread, right? You deserve a safe place where you could fall asleep. And if that's not quite possible, because that is like a, is at least you could have someone here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. That's the role I'm trying to fill. And that's why I use those terms, boyfriend, bore bud, bore bay, bore sib, bore bestie, bore bra, borean. You know, maybe that'll be a new, I don't think that's quite as catchy as, because they have Mando in the show, which sounds nice. Though I don't think it's a nice term in the show. It may be a little bit pejorative. I don't know. I'd have to ask a Mandalorian that question. But Borean, I guess Borbud is fine. I mean, I think that's more, because you say Borean, is that like anything like a Dorian Gray? I'd say no, I don't think so. And I'd say Dorian the Borean, you know, now we're talking. Borean. Borean, have you met my children? Dorian and Borean. Lorian. Though everyone says, is that the same name as somebody from like those, like Tolkien books? No, Tolkien books. Tolkien. We'll do, okay, so it's Borean, Dorian, and Lorlin? No. It's I forgot. It's because it's an imaginary child of mine. Lorian, I think it was, or maybe that was the actual person in the, were they in the Fellowship or where? I don't remember. Are you sure it's not Lorelei? Yeah, I'm sure. It wouldn't rhyme with Dorian and Borean and Lorelei. That would be, wait a second. I like the way, you know, I don't know if I like the way that sounds. You know, if I'm ever in a, like a familial relationship with an elf, or an elven person, a person of elven descent, I'll think about that. Don't bring up Legolas because I'm like too far afield because I don't even know. Oh, I'm just here to be your boar bud. I guess that's what I was saying. Dorian, Borean, Lorian, Lorelei, Legolas, meet the listener. We're just here to keep them company and help them fall asleep, huh? Isn't that nice? Please no elven singing right now. That's, too contrasting with the podcast. Lorelei, Legolas. Go climb some trees. That's a great idea. Oh, no. Don't sing a tree climbing song while you're climbing the tree. So thank you. No. Leave on the mystical lights. That would be terrific. I was watching the extended edition of one of those maybe like 4 months ago. I don't know why that popped in my head. It's just Dorian and Borean and Lorian. So of course, Zorian, Antorian. Yeah, it takes a village. Am I right? You don't want to live in a village where everyone's name rhymes with yours. Oh, Dorian, maybe you should become an author. Okay. Anyway, I'm here to keep you company, take your mind off stuff, and help you fall asleep. That's why I'm here. If you're new, it's perfectly understandable to be dismayed. Hardy har har, maybe that put you to sleep, or skeptical. A lot of people come into the show skeptical or not sure, or, you know, temperature neutral. So see how it goes. I don't know how many, we have like thousands of reviews, and that, like, in almost every review says it took a few tries before I got used to it, and now I use it every night or whatever. So see how it goes. There's no pressure to like the show. I can only hope it helps you fall asleep. And if it doesn't work for you, you can always check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. There's other sleepy stuff there. But I think that's it. I'm really glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep this show free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, Scoots, it's time for a new series we're going to be covering. I have no idea how many episodes they're putting out. I think either 6 or 8 or 5 or 10. And so just to give people like an idea of what to expect, I actually don't know when this episode's going to be coming out. I'm still trying to balance The Good Place before, like the first half of The Good Place season. But basically it looks like how the schedule's shaping up for the, between, I guess probably when you're hearing this would be December of 2019 through the kind of the spring of 2019, I'm expecting. But again, things do change. You do try to plan a lot of this out pretty far ahead of time, just so I can have the episodes there on a consistent basis for you. So the way I'm anticipating it happening is that from December to December 2019 to January 2020, I'll be covering The Mandalorian. Then when The Good Place, the last two, three, four episodes of The Good Place run, we'll cover them. And we'll kind of see what that release schedule is like, if we'll do back-to-back, like, you know, we'll see how The Good Place coverage develops. I just don't know, like, actually the team, the PR team there is gracious enough to usually give me a little bit of early access to those episodes, which is a gigantic help. So I really appreciate that. So it just kind of depend on what I get to see in the production schedule. Then we'll finish out The Mandalorian. Then we'll do some Trek. I have, I think, 4 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation done. What I'll do is record 2 more, not until probably late winter, early spring of 2020. And then we'll run those 6 Star Trek episodes, and then we'll do about 6 episodes of Doctor Who. And I don't know where that'll leave us, so we'll kind of see, but that's kind of what to expect, I guess, through the summer, actually, and maybe the fall of 2020. And then, depending on how schedules are, we'll do Good Place Season 2, interspersed with Who and Next Generation, I'm anticipating, but I can't be positive about any of that. So I guess that's what's coming up. But tonight what's coming up is we're covering Season 1, Episode 1, or Chapter 1. It just has the only title is Chapter 1 of The Mandalorian. It is on Disney Plus, and the service that a lot of people are checking out. Again, this will be, you don't need to have seen The Mandalorian. You don't have to be a fan. Whether you are a Star Trek fan, a Star Wars fan, or a fan of neither or both, it shouldn't impact you too much. I'm on, embargo as far as this, like you can learn from the last season of Game of Thrones. I'm on a media embargo. So I'm trying not to consume any, not even media, any commentary about Mandalorian at all. So I really don't know what the critical response has been or the fan response. I mean, I know that it can't be easy making something, you know, Star Wars. It comes with a lot of extra expectations. And I watched the first episode 5 times, I think, either 4 or 5 times. This will be, I'm running through it now. And then I've watched for pleasure the second episode. I watched that last night. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's perfect for the podcast, especially it kind of has a perfect running time. It's a flexible running time. And I think by doing one episode at a time, before I was wondering if we would pack two episodes into one episode of Sleep With Me, but I think, and to just to try to get lined up with the releases. But what I'm going to do is just do a slow spread of these, because there's a lot of stuff I can research, which is, it hasn't been necessarily possible with some of the other series recently. And then, what else? Oh, one other thing I think with the research is, I don't think I'm going to do any Star Wars research. Like, I'll just research other subjects. Like, so if I'm wondering about calamari flan, I'm going to leave it to the show to exposit that for me. I mean, that one's pretty obvious. I was, well, except for, is the coin, are the coins made of ice? I don't think so, because they would have melted. And I don't necessarily looking for the answer, because I think right now the Star Wars related universe is so vast, but I like being taken on the journey that the team behind the Mandalorian's taking me on. So I don't really know a lot about Mandalorians. I would consider myself a fan of Star Wars, but not a super fan, though. I mean, I probably consume more than a passerby. So I've seen all the movies multiple times. I've read some of the extended universe books, but not a lot of them. I've read some of the comic books. I've seen a few episodes of Star Wars Clone Wars, and maybe one episode of one other series, though that may change. I may watch some of those for fun. So with that, let's get into the content here. I'm going to hit play and start reading. What does that say? Ouchful HD new Star Wars. I don't know what that says, but maybe that's a Disney Plus thing. New Star Wars Marvel type opening, which flashes a helmet. It goes to Vader, BB-8, C-3PO, Kylo, R2, and then maybe a Rebel and a Trooper, and then Mardo. Oh, I don't know what that says. And then the Star Wars. And then we have beeping, beeping, beeping. We see left hand holding something. Snow flurries. The title comes up. Oh, no, that's Tile. I didn't look. I thought that's title, but it's just, I said, huh, what, it's like one of these Tile things. Somebody's looking for their phone or something. I mean, I think we see it's a Mandalorian. They put it in their belt. We see about six buildings. There's lights on the roof, like a kind of a Arctic village. Mandalorian. Then we see this green fish-like person or being, and two perfumers or perfume suppliers. They're looking to make a wholesale deal with this fish-like being. The door opens. This hit a WTF. They said, don't let the cold out, because they said you don't have like an airlock, or what I learned just this morning doing the research, a vestibule is a proper term. It really seems inefficient. I mean, it was cool, but it just said maybe they could use my consulting on this exoplanet. So we'll talk about those vestibules later. Very cool music right away. And I mean, holy mackerel, music really, and the sound effects. It did, when I was first doing my research, I said, maybe we'll do a side by side with Boba Fett. But I decided against doing too much Star Trek research. But they are different. Very different, I'd say. Mando spills one of the perfumer's drinks. The bartender's stressed out about the whole thing. We kind of get the first hint of this thing called Beskar Steel, which is going to, it seems like it's going to have a lot of meaning in this. And that's kind of some of the armor that the Mandalorian wears. That doesn't say mistletoe, cool lemon, more. But I think it's like a cool move. Cool, learn more. Mistletoe, cool, lemon, more. But I think that there's like all these moves. There's like just cool action. Then I said part fish man, heartfelt gratitude, bounty puck. Then three minutes and 14 seconds. I'm already past there. Let's get back to that. There's the title at 324. 315, 309. Look, must be some mistake. I could get you more credit. Oh, I know what it is. There's like, in the windows, there's like bottles and what are those things called? Like fishing nets or something in the window behind the fish dude. That's what it says. Warm or cold. Oh, that's what he says to the fish person. And they put, is frozen in carbonite cold or warm? And then the title. And then there's more music as they're walking off. Gray skies. They go to a taxi stand. And this being we've seen before who works at the taxi stand uses a piccolo or a recorder to call taxis, which I liked. Very efficient. And we learned the Mandalorian does not like working with droids. There's a lot of speeders. We hear the term Ravenax or something. The speeders are a bit like hovercrafts. Oh, we heard about gray holes, which I think is like gray water that people just dump, just like cruise ships, which has caused the Ravenax to kind of come closer or something. Then I think the fish person mentions a celebrity cruise or something. Then they paid, the Mandalorian pays cash for the cab ride. The cab ride goes out. Then it was like a little bit like the movie Beetlejuice with the Ravenak or whatever, which is a tusk-based creature. I think the fish person says, thank Ferrick, which must be their god or someone they're thanking. Very nice helmet. They put nothing shocking. Let's see. They make some. Then they get on the Mandalorian ship, which is not impressive to the fish person. They make small talk. Razor crust. I don't know what that was. Pre-Empire. Do you never take off the helmet? Back tube, which is like their bathroom. It says, "Can I use your back tube? I gotta empty the thorax." You think this was maybe good to establish in the first episode that there's no security cameras, at least on the Mandalorian ship, because, or maybe there is, I guess, I don't know. But the fish guy, he starts wandering around. There's no toilet seat. He seems to be wearing some kind of flight jacket or flight suit, like an old school one you'd see. So he talks about Life Day and Solstice. Someone on a podcast said that Life Day's in November. I'm not positive about that. We see all other carbon buddies. The dude says, yeah, I guess I'm not as smooth as I thought it was. And the Mandalorian says, nope. And he says, I got an onboard carbonite machine. Then we head to a new planet. There's cloudy but blue skies. What does it say? It looks cold. They go to a bar, a throwback Star Wars bar. Very classic Star Wars, very dark. We meet Carl Weathers, who is the head of the guild. He says, did you catch them all? I said, holy Pokemon. I couldn't tell, and I needed it. Like, I watched this one time with my daughter. I think he turns in the trackers, actually, like the tile tracker, but I'm not positive. Okay, wait, I'm watching this. This is Razor Crest. That's the style of a ship, pre-Empire ship that the Mandalorian flies. So it wasn't too off. I put Razor Crest. Okay, did you catch them all? He says, I don't take Imperial credits. They're worthless. We get the idea that times are tough. So he gets paid 50% in calamari flan. Calamari flan. Cargo gets offloaded. He says, what jobs do you have? 3 bail jumpers, water smuggler. I can hear a little bit about the guild here. There's a lot of competition there, non-tradespeople charging, non-guild rates. We learned the highest bounty is 5,000, which isn't even enough to pay for gas. But he does have a puckless job. This is Carl Weathers. Deep pockets. We hear the term chain code a few times and chit. I don't know what this one is. No chain code. Here's the chit. showers. I don't know what that means, but he starts walking through the village. It's 1330. He walks past a dude. I put nice hat, yo. So that's worth catching. So moving into this part of the episode and kind of, I really like, enjoyed, and it was in an unexpected way that, and I don't know if a lot of people played like, role-playing games, either on a computer or in person. But particularly like on a computer, when you're playing by yourself, this is like an important sequence of, you're in the village and you go meet with the guild, you get some jobs, and then you make a couple other stops, right? So I really liked the sequence. It just really reminded me that this show also has kind of this like fantasy element to it too. A knock, knock on the door. Why choose a pinky box? Droid legs. Why choose a pinky? Wonder what that means. Maybe I'll see in a minute. There we see a box droid on legs. Was it Imperial? Then we see worn down, dirty stormtroopers. And they say, what in the Werner? Holy cow. Holy Herzog, which is great. I think his name's Grief Cargus, maybe. Said you were coming. No, that's Carl Weathers' character, Grief Cargus, I think. Here's the bar sequence. A little bit less dark on this one. He just said, did you catch them all? Holy Pokemon. It is the tracker, it looks like. So to me, that means that we must all have... like, at this planet, everyone has a chip, I guess, and whatever that other one is, code, what do they say, code block, or whatever, chain code. So let's see, best in the parsec, we meet Dr. Pershing, lacks decorum, according to Werner. There's Holy Herzog, I did write that, I like the odds, we learned that the Mandalorian was a really good establishing character in within the Star Wars kind of nods because he says, geez, I like these odds. Doesn't like droids. He shows off, I think Werner Herzog's character's named the client, I believe. But he shows some real Beskar steel. He says, go get the asset. They talk about pragmatism, no puck, tracking fob, and the last four digits of the chain code, which is your date of birth. So that's like a convenient if you're, so this, the assets chain code is 50 years old. More Beskar, where that's coming from. And, The Herzog's character loves Mandalorian. He says it'll be good for this Beskar to be back in the hands of a Mandalorian or something. It'll restore the natural order of things. So that was cool. Let me see here. They're going through the city. Jawas. Maybe that was something. We do see some Jawas. And I said something about a pinky, though. Okay, he's walking through the village. Here comes the dude with the hat. He's going, yep, there he is, guy with the big hat. And Mandalorian looks pretty cool. I haven't seen it with, when I was watching it on my TV, it was very dark. My TV might be too dark. Got one of those magic eye doors. He shows like a chit or an ID card. Looked like the ring doorbell. It was part organic and part real. There's a droid waiting at the door. He follows the droid, I guess. Maybe his pinky was out. I don't know. Maybe I was wondering if he's left-handed. It's a two-legged droid instead of a rolling one. Door opens. We see these rough-looking these stormtroopers say, clearly the fall of the Empire. Oh, Grief. G-R-E-E-F, according to the subtitles. Okay. When he leaves the room, there's one last look to the stormtrooper. We see more of the city. We get more role-playing game type feel action. Because I really like the sequence, because he goes into the Mandalorian, goes into a basement. We hear some surf guitar, and he goes into like their hangout. Like we see a couple Mandalorians on the left, one on the right. The two on the left are playing a game. Some helmets have antennas, some don't. Then we see possibly the Mandalorian goddess, like the face of the goddess. We go into this like temple, forged temple, with a silver metalsmith or something. I guess the Beskar smith. They nod to one another. He turns in, so there's like a tithing almost. Like he turns in the cash and the Beskar steel. They talk about the Great Purge. Good that this is back with the tribe. Has your signet been revealed? That's a mysterious thing to me. This is why I don't want to read anymore. Good, she says. Does she say Podrick is in order? I don't know. That's what I wrote. It sounded like it. We'll get there eventually. Some images. There's like a flashbacks. She talks about the leftover steel. We'll go to the foundlings. Oh, this was a flashback where we see him. It's presumably everyone's in red robes. Then he upgrades his armor, only one piece. So again, this is like very cool. Like he gets one shoulder piece of new armor. And clearly this Beskar steel, there's something to it. I mean, then there's a zoom on him. Then the next planet comes up is Badlands. He's walking, carrying his, his tool. And I said, he must have really strong forearms because he's carrying this long thing. His left hand, the fob's in his left hand. So I don't know if he's left-handed or not. Then he's looking through something, 615, like a Binox. He meets a horse who tries to kiss him. And not far behind the horse comes a new friend who says they have spoken. And this kind of looked like it's a famous person's voice, but it almost like seemed like maybe the character was based on like at least had the haircut of Ron Perlman, or how I expect like the facial hair of Ron Perlman to be. But it's not Ron Perlman's voice. So it did throw me off for like two or three watches. And then I said, okay. I knew whose voice it was, and then I said, okay, I can roll with this now. Okay, so now he's going into the temple, which is a cool part. I just want to see what the dialogue that I didn't understand was, since this is the first time I'm watching it with subtitles. So the forge, the blacksmith, metalsmith, silversmith, they nod. They sit across from one another. He gives over the cash. It looks like all of it, and the steel, but it might not be all of it. He's 4 calamari flan coins or whatever. Gathered in the Great Purge. Good back with the tribe. Yep. A pauldron would it be in order? Has your signet been revealed? No, not yet. Soon. Then I go take the metal, get to work making this armor. So we have a little sequence there. It kind of showing that kind of like that there's a religious or faith significance probably to it. Feels a little bit like the House of Black and White in GOT. We see something getting cast. And then a zoom. Now I think it's flashback time. Extremely generous. Excess will sponsor many foundlings. That's good. I was a foundling once. Yep, no doubt about it. I knew that. Then we see the foundling. We say, okay, which I think helps moving forward into the next episode. Or maybe, I don't know, episode 3. We'll see if it... how it impacts the plant, whatever wherever the choices Mandalorian's going to make. Also, Mandalorian's got a sweet cape. Probably mentioned that somewhere. Okay, let me get back to it. Okay, 6:15. Oh, the horse buddy. They go back to his place. They have spoken. Windmill. There's some exposition and joking. Then there's kind of a training sequence. Like then we learn that this character also has a lot of Mandalorian love. And something Mandalorian love and Mifflauser, yo, get to it. I don't even know what that means. Mandalorian love and Mifflauser, yo, get to it. Yes, you did it. So I don't know. That's interesting. Let's check it. Says, okay, let's train you on the horse. I mean, that's the horse training sequence. I have spoken. This is the joking sequence here. Training. Get, you know, come on. I saw you're a Mandalorian. Okay. Oh, Mythosaur. I think that's maybe what it says that I couldn't read. Yeah, Mythosaur, yo. Your ancestors rode the Mythosaur. Get to it. Yes, you did it. Then there's journey music. Is a journey to kind of find the asset. There's, it almost looks like stop motion. So I haven't read anything about this, but it was either, there's some sequences in both these episodes that feel like stop motion, even if it's motion graphics, which was cool. Dude won't take any pay. He goes, there's no peace till everybody's gone. Plus, you know, I've heard all these stories of Mandalorians, always wanted to meet one and hang with one. So he says, peace out, I've spoken. Oh, that's when we see the Mandalorian's cape. It looks really good. He crawls to the edge. I didn't know if he had gaiters on or boots. I couldn't tell. Now he has a telescope. Before he was using his scope, so I don't know if his scope on his thing is removable. He looks down. There's lots of crew down there. He has two-tone gloves, by the way. We see a readout 97479. Then there's a bounty droid, which is, again, actually, it seems like a practical effect. I don't even know if it's so good of motion graphics, or maybe I just can't tell. But it looks like a lot of effort went into the motion of that thing. It's an IG droid. Like IG-88 was originally the most famous one. The bounty droid says, subparagraph 16 of the Bondsman Guild Protocol Waiver. You got to give up your assets. And all the crew says, we'd rather give up our A-double, you know, we're not going to give up our asset. We're going to give up our A-double, bounty buns. Mandalorian says, who is this fool droid? Very spinny, said asset. I liked that. Mandalorian has a big sigh. IG units stand down. We get an armor test of the new armor. Works great. He says, I'm in the guild. Creaky dulcet droid. That's what I put. Great voice on that droid. Very creaky dulcets. So much, you know, let's work together. Maybe, maybe not. Looks like there's a king-size bed in the middle of the what do you call that? The square or whatever. Also red barrels, which usually get used in these things, but they didn't get used in this one. No surprise. Give me the fob. Let's split it and we'll regroup. As long as I get the reputation points, the droid says, which again reminded me of that thing. Reputation merits. Alert, alert, alert. That was funny. More action. More IG stop motion feel movement. Love the motions. Then it says, I got to do some self-care for a little while. The Mandalorian tries to hotwire the door. No dice. This is worth it. If you're on your third or fourth watch of this, go to 3130. Right around 3134, like they're having like a dance-off or whatever. I listened to it twice. Someone yells Hakuna Matata right around 3134. Definitely listen. They say Hakuna Matata. I thought that was funny. I think Pined Hell New Plan. Very Western and video game like. Oh, reminded me of a video game that the second edition came, or the sequel came out recently about redemption. Red Redemption, it's called. Red Big Farm Redemption, video game sequence, something, Kermitel Wiring Heroics. Let's see. Basically, Mandalorian makes some moves. They get in, they take out everybody, like the sequence from the video game and the dance off. Then they get the door open, which is cool. There's sound effects. We see a small cradle with a toy from the Muppet Babies in there. Big cute, that's what I put. They must have, this is a question, again, I'm proposing this. Do they have two, because they have a discussion of the IG droid and the Mandalorian. And it makes me wonder if they have two different clients, which would make it even cooler. And also now the flashbacks kind of make a little bit more sense. There's like this ET finger move moment, because the Mandalorian sends the IG droid away to the big farm, kind of. I mean, it seems like the IG droid would be back, but you never know. Then there's credits music, which I love. Absolutely, the credits music and the credits are amazing. And there's this amazing music, and then the paintings. There's 11 paintings, I believe, at the end of the episode. And it's like worth multiple watches. See Mando Hangar. My handwriting's really bad on that. So let me see. I think it must be the last one. Oh, we saw the Mandalorians hanging out playing games. That was it in one of the paintings. And that is how the episode comes to a conclusion. I'm just watching it now. The case is checking the Muppet Baby toy. He says, this is when we say they have, I think they probably have different clients. Mandalorian says, I'll take this one. And IG droid takes a nappy poo. And now we have the ET finger movement. It's cooing, it says. One last wide or medium image of ET finger touch to touch. And then it's the paintings, which are really cool. Yeah, let's see. There's a. We'll see what these paintings sold. They're very like Pulp Fiction-y out of the novels and stuff. All right, let's run through some of the research here. First thing is chit, C-H-I-T. C-H-I-T is what I said, which according to the Cambridge Dictionary is a noun, C-H-I-T. A note giving information or showing a sum of money that is owed or has been paid. It's in the U.S. and the U.K. A chit, after your flight, or a chit for the dry cleaners. Oh, it can also mean young and silly. Show how much money you owe, and that's it. So that's chit. Now, puck, this is another thing that came up. I said, what about puck? A couple pucks. So let's start with Wikipedia puck from folklore. Also known as Robin Goodfellow, domestic, nature sprite or fairy or not great friend. The etymology, according to Wikipedia, is uncertain. It was pucka in Old English, or puka. Pukki in Old Norse, puke in Swedish, P-U-K-E. I mean, I'm sure it's pronounced differently. Welsh, Cornish, Irish, they're not sure. Oxford English Dictionary favors a Scandinavian, but there's also alternative names, Robin Goodfellow, Hob. Maybe that's where Robin came from. Which is Robin Goodfellow in a couple of different plays. Shakespeare may have gotten it from other authors, maybe some Spanish authors. Characteristics. Is it a trickster? Oh, no. If you had a knack, a puck might do minor housework for you. Needlework, butter churning. Oh, but knavish tricks. This is a bit like the Cat in the Hat or a lot of these. You got to leave pucks, small gifts, glass of milk or treats. Yeah, but they, you know, they could be up to no good. They're lonely, so they definitely are looking to acquire friends. Shakespeare's characterization, shrewd and knavish, may have revived flagging interest in Puck. That's from A Midsummer's Night Dream, in literature as early as the 16th century and all the way to, I guess there's a... Oh, yeah, they're even in the new Amazon series, Carnival Row. I haven't seen that yet, but it says it there. So that's one kind of puck. What about a hockey puck? I don't really know too much about him. I mean, one of my roommates was a hockey player. It's a disc of vulcanized rubber, using games just like a ball, ice hockey, also referred to as a flat ball. It used to use balls, but 1870, they used flat pucks of wood or rubber to keep it from leaving the rink of play. They were made first by slicing a ball, then trimming the disc square. The Victoria Hockey Club of Montreal is credited with making the first round pucks. Flat ball comes from Old England. The origin of puck is unsure. It could be a cognate poke used in the game of hurling, a Scottish Gaelic puck or Irish puck, to poke or hit a ball. So there's variations, but the standard is a 6 ounce, 170 gram hockey puck or 4 ounce, 110 for training, or sometimes people use heavier ones. Then there was, like, in the 90s, they tried to colorize pucks so people would watch more hockey. I don't know if this is when I had my internship. It was, like, the only time I watched a lot of hockey was when I had an internship, that was in the 90s, I guess, both those things. So, and then there was a smart puck that Fox used to track it and make it easier. And... yeah, major manufacturers of pucks are in Canada, Russia, Czech Republic, and China and Slovakia. So that's a little bit about pucks. How about that? There's also pucks in roller hockey and underwater hockey. Yeah, this is why we do the research. An underwater hockey puck, it differs and it has a lead core to sink into a swimming pool. Like, there's a game called underwater hockey. I'm sorry, I gotta make a, yep, there's pictures of it. Doesn't look like regular hockey, though. It's a limited contact sport, mainly in the UK. Octopush, it's also called. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind playing this game. It started in 1954. I mean, talk about, yeah, so that's just, you learn something new every day. Truth is stranger than fiction. People really play underwater hockey. I don't know, I'm trying to find out. Octopush, Crystal Palace Pool, London. There's a picture of that. 66, I don't know if it's still going on, though. 1980. I guess so. I guess 2009. So there's something new. Okay, next is a term guild gets used. So I thought I'd, of course I'm going to use that to use it jumping off to talk about something else. But the guild is usually an association of artists or merchants who oversee the practice of their craft or trade in a particular area. They usually operate in a single city, cover a single trade, kind of like a professional association or trade union. But it also has aspects of a cartel or secret society. Sometimes needed grants or letters, patents from a monarch. They could have guild halls, guild meeting places, and guild members were the only ones allowed to sell their goods or practice their skills within a city. A lot of good fiction, you know, is written on with the guilds. But one of my favorite pieces that really led to this podcast, only, I mean, not content-wise, but inspiration-wise, was the web series The Guild, which I don't want to ruin it. I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast before, but you should just look it up. It was created and written by Felicia Day, who plays Codex, Sid. It started in YouTube in 2007, ran until 2013. Follows the Knights of Good. And I guess, I don't know if I've seen these more recent seasons. I thought I would like... maybe saw season 5, or maybe I'm getting 5 and 6 confused, but really, when I saw season 1 and 2, maybe when season 2 or season 3 were running, I was trying to write a YouTube comedy with two other people. One of the people refused to watch The Guild, but I said, like, just use it as, like, say, this is possible to make something and put it out in the world, write something. And then produce yourself, and then to produce something which, in Felicia Day's case, was amazing, like just very funny, great characters. So do yourself a favor, if you've never watched The Guild, watch it. I guess then you'll fall in love with all the characters, and then you'll know a lot of the performers. So yeah, do yourself a favor, check out The Guild. I'm sure it's still on YouTube. What else? Oh, Pokemon. I don't really know a lot about Pokemon, believe it or not. I think that's what you got to catch them all. It's been around since in like 1995. Humans are Pokemon trainers, and they got to catch the Pokemon, which you got to catch them all. It began as Pokemon Red and Green, then Red and Blue, which were games for the original Game Boy. Then it became a media mix franchise, highest grossing media franchise of all time, 90 billion, holy. Second best selling video game series behind Mario, 340 million, billion mobile downloads. It has a Pokemon Go, which is super popular. I haven't played that, but just because of my addictive personality, you know, I had the Harry Potter one. I had to delete that. It had the movie come out that it was supposed to be really good. I was going to go see it, and I didn't. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. So, you know, I'm trying to think. It had a Super Bowl ad, a Super Bowl 50. Let's see. There's been animated series, television specials, televisions and film, a theatrical performance, a musical. Trading card game, trading figure game, music. Most importantly, I guess there's a theme park. Oh, it's a traveling theme park. Both are closed, one in Japan and one in Taiwan, 2005, 2006. That would have been cool. So I missed out on that. Okay, but that's a little bit about Pokemon. Okay, what else can we get through here? Let's, hovercraft, I'll just mention, that's an air cushion vehicle. I always dreamed of having riding on a hovercraft. They're amphibious. They use blowers to put a large volume of air below the hull, an air cushion that's above atmospheric pressure. And, you know, I looked at the G.I. Joe one. I also just would see people like, it was kind of like a jet ski, like a personal hovercraft. I dreamed, like, when I was, like, a kid of having my own personal hovercraft. I don't think they ever really caught on, like, wide scale. They are still used for travel. Civilian, non-commercial. They're used. So there's an extensive Wikipedia article about them. So it's pretty cool. If you want to learn more about hovercrafts, Cash Cab. This is one of the people I get compared that I look like, Ben Bailey, the host of Cash Cab. I've seen ads for it or clips from it. I've never seen the show. I just don't have a lot of time to watch any television, but It's been going since 2005 to 2012, and then new seasons in 2017 and 2018. Oh, no, it says Ben Bailey. I don't know, but Ben Bailey. Oh, no, it was revived. Yeah, Ben Bailey. It's part of a global cash cab franchise that started in the UK. Yeah, so let's see. There was a spinoff, Cash Cab After Dark. I wonder who they got that idea from. So that's another thing. I don't know if I necessarily, I guess people say I look like Ben Bailey. Even, not even like when I, at my old job, people used to say that. I can kind of see it, I don't know. He's got nicer hair than me for sure. And then someone actually tweeted to both of us recently, and said, because I think he was having trouble falling asleep. And that was unrelated to looks. So I thought that was funny. Okay, so let's talk about vestibules last. If you live in New York or Chicago, those are the two places I've seen vestibules. And when I lived in New York, I always thought it was cool how almost instantly when it got cold or before it got cold, these vestibules, which was like they would be outside of all the restaurants and bars or a lot of them. And this is a Quora question. Why do many New York City restaurants have plastic box-like extension and plastic doors at their entrances? And it's because so the cold air doesn't get let in. But it turns out it's like it went a little deeper. So Eater has an article about it. How restaurants stay warm in the winter. Investigating the vestibule that keeps out the cold. And they talk about how, you know, they like, there's like usually a heater in there. So you go in from the cold into a nice warm restaurant and it's very hospitable. Let's see. Winterizing can change your dining experience. No one wants to sit close to a drafty door. Narrow vestibule erected on the sidewalk. Some cities prefer one style over others. Acrylic and vinyl ones are a fascination in New York. Yeah, you know, I've seen them in Chicago. I don't know if I've seen them anywhere else. New York's obsession with vestibules is what this article is about. And it just talks about it and the heating elements. And actually, I guess there's a New Yorker article from 2005, Ian Parker. So it's really interesting. Vestibule season, they average about 2,400, but they can go up to 25,000. And local laws, I'll think link to another article, but yeah, there's even laws. 2 years ago, let's see, it may be restaurants, temporary ones. Let's see, vestibules. Yeah, local laws maybe play a role in keeping them out. I don't know. I think it's a great idea because, I mean, especially in New York where no one drives, it's like, it's nice to just get really warm. I don't know. Does it matter? Matters. I think so. Because then you don't have to have, you only need one door to the restaurant. So, yeah, it's a little bit about vestibules and a little bit about episode one of The Mandalorian. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Michelle, Low Leslie, Chloe, thanks, and good night. Sharon, Kara, and David, thanks, and good night. Paul and Charles, thanks, and good night. Jesse, Emily, and Summer, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Jesse, and Tori, thank you, thanks, and good night. Anna, Claire, and Rin, thanks, and good night. Steve, Smack, and Nancy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rain, Catherine, and Danielle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jess, Sarah, and Francis, thanks, and good night. Misa, Paul, and Chris, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tom, Kate, and Joaquin, thanks, and good night. Hayden, Alec and Kate, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Zachary, Brooke, and Joseph, thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Sophia and Diana, thank you. Thanks, and good night. So thanks, everybody that supports the show on Patreon. Sleeping Me actually exists as a free podcast because people that support the show through the sponsors, through Patreon, merch, live shows, and stuff like that. That's how we're able to keep it free for everybody. So thank you. And like Sleeping Beauty Grows is a podcast because everybody that goes out of their way to share about it. So I also very, very much appreciate that. And there's also a podcast I'd like to let you know about right now from Night Vale Presents. All right, but this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleeping Beauty Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.